And you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Today is, it's March the 10th of the year 2000. It's Friday. As usual, this is Radio Free Cybertron. And as usual, this is your host, Brian Kilby. On the show this week, we have the ATT Buzz. I'll be doing the top 8 and news from Cybertron in Turton's absence. We'll have info on a cornucopia of new things coming to RSC next week. And we'll also have a review of Wolf in the Fold, the newest episode of Beast Machines to come out of Canada. And we'll have whatever else we come upon this week. Just like last week, I want to start off with Zob Trivia. Zobivore, a.k.a. Dave Edwards, supplies us with a trivia question each week. I'll ask the question at the beginning of the show, and you think on it until the end when I give out the answer. So here's the question for this week. What device was used to facilitate the theft of Metroplex's eyes by Scourge and Starscream's ghost? And here's a hint. It was also mentioned in Transformers the Movie. Like always, we'll start off this week with John DeLuna's ATT Buzz.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and just last week, I put out a plea to Hasbro Man for some new toys. I got down on my hands and my knees and I begged. And what do you know? Just this week, two deluxes and two new basics are popping up in stores. We got Thrust, Black Arachnia, Longhorn, and Obsidian showing up in Walmarts all over the country. So, if you can stand walking past that creepy old man that greets everybody at the door but you, chances are you'll find these guys somewhere in between the George Foreman grills and the dog food aisle. Anyway, I think a lot of people in the news group got a wake-up call this week. I think we got a little perspective this week, and it all started with a simple, honest post asking, was there a Megatron in Generation 1? And I know a lot of people laughed at that, and I know a lot of people were just kind of floored by that question, but I mean, really, somebody actually asked that. And they weren't being a troll, and they weren't trying to start Hellflame War 2 or 5, whatever. They were asking an honest question. They really didn't know the answer. And I think it made a lot of us realize really how long ago 1984 really was. And I bet if you asked everybody on ATT the question, what's the first image that pops into your mind when you hear the word Transformers, I'm willing to bet that more often than not, people are going to say a Beast Wars or a Beast Machines character, not Optimus Prime, not Soundwave. And that's not a bad thing. In fact, you know, I'd probably think of some Beast Wars character if somebody asked me that question, mainly because, well, it's fresh from my mind. We spend 90% of the time on ATT discussing that part of Transformers. Also on ATT this week, there were a couple of rumors that popped up, and one of them was debunked. And one of them was actually confirmed. The first was the rumor that Beast Machines Season 3 had been paid for by YTV and was going to happen. But that's false, because Beast Machines is definitely over after the second season. But that also means that, well, most of us come Halloween are still going to be waiting for a lot of these toys, even though it'll be about 6 months after we've seen the entire cartoon series. And I gotta say, I am digging YTV's decision to show Season 2 real early. But I don't think there's any denying that it really does knock this toy distribution and release schedule off of balance. Also, the second rumor that was actually confirmed was that Hasbro Man is tossing around a few ideas about a new Transformers movie. And get this, Bob Skeer is not involved. And that's good or bad news, I guess. Now, personally, I'm not a fan of good old Bobaloo's work, but this does mean that we're going to have potentially a third writing team on Beast Machines and the Transformers franchise in the span of about 2 years. And when you think about it, that is not a good thing. And that is the ATT Buzz. I'm John DeLuna.
Thanks, John. Before I forget it, tune in next week when John will have a review of one of his new Beast Machines toys. Watch out for that. And coming up next in the show, we have the news from Cybertron.
News from Cybertron.
Early adopters of Microsoft Windows 2000 Professional Edition operating system found a surprising bug in their new OS. Upon opening the file dg.sys, the OS crashed, and the computer is overtaken by the memories of Dinobot. We got our hands on a copy of the new OS and tried it ourselves.
No, no, no! That is so wrong. This cannot be.
That's what we managed to grab before he faded away and was replaced again by the operating system. Microsoft said that a patch has been produced to correct the problem, but for some reason will not be released to the public. In a bit of irony, Beast Machine's Black Arachnia has been diagnosed with multiple personality disorder. This reporter has yet to find one. Recent polls show that most Transformers support Al Gore in the upcoming presidential elections. His robotic demeanor has been attributed to his appeal. And finally, a bit of sad news to report. A fatal accident earlier in the week during a boat race in the San Francisco Bay. Shipwreck of G.I. Joe fame had a fatal head-on collision with the Autobot Sea Spray. Though details are sketchy, we learned that Shipwreck was ripped in half during the grisly accident. While no charges have been filed against Sea Spray, Shipwreck's estate is suing the Autobot for the price of a new rubber band. That's the news from Cybertron this week. Look out next week when Turin returns. And coming up right now is the Brian's big list, which is, this for the sake of alliteration, been changed from Turin's top 8. This week it is top 8 differences between Season 2 and Season 1 of Beast Machines. Number 8, character designs. You can forget that one. Number 7, mindless fight scenes. Season 2's fight scenes aren't always mindless. Number 6, jokes that fall flat. Number 5, execution. In comparison to Season 1, Season 2 is 90% less likely to make you commit suicide. Number 4, G1 references always make sense. Forget that one too. Number 3, no blatant plot devices. Oh man, you can forget that one again, sorry. Number 2, characterization. Primal acts like Primal. Megatron acts like Megatron. Rattrap acts like Rattrap. Cheetor acts like... Black Arachnia acts like RC. Forget this one too. And the number one difference between Season 2 and Season 1 of Beast Machines. Plot. Season 2 has one.
Hi, this is Larry DiTilio, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Right now, I want to go over the bukus and bukus of things that are coming up next week. First and foremost, the Radio Free Cybertron parody of Transformers the movie. Yes, this is the first in a long series of serials that will be a parody of Transformers the movie. After that, who knows, we'll probably go into completely original stories, either supplied by us or by the listeners. Either way, this will be a treat for you and us. We're having a lot of fun doing this. Also next week, we'll have the first of a new segment called Ask RFC. What we need is for you to email us questions, anything, from, you know, where to get the best deals on toys to where your mother buried your cat. And we'll do our best to answer it. We get tons of questions, or at least I get tons. And I thought it'd be great to turn this into a recurring segment on the show. Email me personally at kilby316@abts.net. That's kilby316@abts.net. And give me your questions. Within the next week, we'll also have the transcription done of the Larry DiTilio interview, I promise. That's not so big a deal for those of you listening right now, but it is for those who can't, like web TV users or people who are using an older version of Reel and can't update it. For those of you who missed it, the DiTilio interview is still available on our homepage. Listen to it, it's great. Also, I've decided to revive an old segment from our first few shows. If I recall correctly, it was called Brian's Rant. I brought it back a few times, but it basically just involved episodes. It's basically a topic, sort of a like something you would see on most news shows. I throw out a topic and then give you my point of view. We originally dumped this idea because we thought it was redundant. There are tons of message boards or news groups out there where people can talk about these things, but, you know, I was persuaded earlier by a third party to bring this section back. I mean, I'm not Rush Limbaugh, nor thank God do I even kid myself into believing that, but we have something that any great news show or opinion show needs, listeners. We have more individual listeners than some radio stations, and that is not a joke, nor is it hyperbole. We need you to throw out your opinions, too. I'm not going to pander this to the news groups. That's cheap, in my opinion. Just email me at kilby316@abts.net with your opinions. That can either be recorded as a sound file attached to an email, or it can be plain text, you know, the body of your email. On the webpage, I have updated instructions on how to do that. The topic of next week's discussion is those who rip you off. This was brought to my attention by Rick Baca, a friend of mine, and part-time associate with RSC. You may know him as Silverbolt Mr. Vertigo himself on alt.toys.transformers. And I'd hate myself for not mentioning the RSC Link Exchange on the homepage. Just look for the Link Exchange hyperlink and click on it. There are literally tons of links there for other fine pages that link to RSC. If you want to swap links, email me at kilby316@abts.net and let me know. Also, yeah, there's the RSC mailing list. Click on the ListBot join list graphic on the homepage. It's below our masthead. And you'll be notified each week when RSC is being updated and all the happenings. We're also going to use that for our mailing list. That will include news, rumors, and the like. I hope to get that up this week. And one last thing. We have one more new segment, which will be the RSC site of the week. One of our staffers will pick one site each week and tell you why it's something that you can't live without visiting. If you want to submit a site that we may not know about, or have your own site that is great and you want to promote it, email us at, and this is a different address, rsc@knowledge.org. Remember, that's rsc@knowledge.org. There's no W. It's an irony thing, according to Turin. And I suppose that's it. We now return you to our usual broadcast.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Congratulations to Joshua Watson for getting last week's trivia clip correct. It was from Starscream's Brigade classic episode. And guess what? That's trivia for this week. Trivia is currently on hiatus until we decide what to do with it. I'll tell you what. I'll put up a poll on the homepage, and you can decide on what to do with trivia. After 2 weeks, we'll tally up the votes and decide then. Great idea, huh? Well, here at RSC, we're full of them. Ideas, that is. And that marks the end of the show. For those of you who don't want to be spoiled, coming up momentarily is the spoiler review of A Wolf in the Fold, the newest episode of Beast Machines from Canada. But first, now we want to answer Zob Trivia. The question was, what device was used to facilitate the theft of Metroplex's eyes by Scourge and Starscream's Ghost? And it was mentioned in Transformers the Movie. That was the hint, and the answer is a photon charge. And we'd like to thank Zob for that, and also we'd like to thank him for the Dinobot clip from the news from Cybertron. And for those of you who are leaving, I want to remind you to listen next week for the new segments, vote for the fate of trivia, and submit your sites for vote. For Radio Free Cybertron, this is Brian Kilby. And now, for those of you who are staying, I'll play the spoiler clip, and after that, you are on your own as far as being spoiled. Infinitesimally brief rundown. Something's wrong on Cybertron. Metallic arms are tearing away at the ground below from Cybertron's, Megatron's head floating above Cybertron. From the wires are projected green loops that carry something that enhances anger. It's supposed to be the hate plague. Whether it actually is or not is up to you. Basically, Megatron is wanting Primal's attention, so he's using this as a diversion. Megatron tells Primal that he wants harmony in the universe. A collective mind is what will accomplish this. Very Borgish, actually. And ironically, anti-Marxist. So, you know, that makes it good. The remaining characters bicker at each other throughout the whole episode, but it's fun. You know, it's a fun type of bickering. Better than the angsty arguing that, you know, we saw throughout season one, and also better than the brain-dead punching and kicking from the Return of Optimus Prime. At the end of the episode, the characters just overpower the hate plague. You know, that's one bit of evidence that leads me to think that it isn't the hate plague. That and the fact that the plague would be hard to come by, argued earlier today that the Beast Machine's characters may be immune in some way to the hate plague also. And perhaps after the Return of Optimus Prime, all creatures were given some sort of defense against it. After that, everyone basically has a happy ending until next week. As far as the episode goes, the pros, the hate plague, or what, you know, was strongly alluded to be the hate plague. You know, Night Scream's testimony isn't quite enough to convince me. Regardless, I love G1 references in Beast Wars, Beast Machines. No matter how nutty they are. Also, Primal was fairly cool in this episode, you know, much more like his old self. The ideological tug of war between Megatron and Primal was interesting. You know, it's sort of sad, but to me, Megatron makes a better case. Let's see here. Also, the fighting between the characters was fun, I suppose. The cons for the episode, you know, questionable use of the hate plague. Where did Megatron get it? Why were the Maximals able to fend it off without, you know, the ultra-cheesy use of the Matrix from the Return of Optimus Prime? Questions, and nothing but speculation to answer, so I'm not even going to try anymore. Also, Megatron claimed to use the Hate Plague to get Primal's attention. You know, what if Primal had contracted the Hate Plague before being taken away by Megatron? What good would a rabid gorilla be, anyway? How does this episode actually rank within the season? Good, not great. Better than last week, in my opinion, but still not as strong as Prometheus Unbound. The rundown. Characterization, 9. For Beast Machines, this is Nirvana. There was little flakiness in the characterization, or, you know, characterization as the Beast Machine guys go, anyway. The plot, 7. I can't say that anything in particular progressed in the story, but it was, you know, fun. And in total, this episode gets an 8. That's pretty good, you know, as was the episode. I can't stress it enough that this is not Beast Wars Season 2, but it's better than Beast Wars Season 3 and light years beyond Beast Machine Season 1. Watch it.
Radio Free Cybertron.
And for Radio Free Cybertron, this is Brian Kilby signing off until next week.
Coming from the sky.